But if we could open our Bibles again to the Epistle of Hebrews in chapter 13, and I'd like to draw your attention this morning to a few verses that we find in this passage. It's my desire this morning that this message would be a practical Christian message, but something very important that I believe that as a Christian, all of us need to have this morning. And now may I say to you this morning, if you're here and you're without the Savior, you're without Christ, then these things that we're about to say do not apply to you, because you do not know the joy that Christ can bring to your life. And I plead with you this morning, if you are outside of the Savior, if you're outside of Christ, come to Him today. Believe on Him. Trust in Him. And I believe, as the Bible says, that who comes to Christ, he will no wise cast out. And I trust that you will find Him today. But let's just read together again verses 5 and 6, if we could, this morning. Hebrews chapter 13. And again, in your church Bible, that's page 1384. But let's read it together. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And I was woken up a few days ago with this text of scripture. I'd read it a few weeks ago on my mind. And this is wonderful words of scripture. And these words are ending this book of Hebrews, aren't they? And the ending, really, this chapter is ending from really verse number 1 on a very practical note. It says, let brotherly love continue. And so the Christian in their life should have these things. They should have a love for one another, shouldn't we? And it says, be forgetful not to entertain strangers. And it goes on to say, remember them that are in bonds. And so all these things, for really from verse number 1, 2 and 3 and 4 are practical Christian things that we should have in our lives as believers. But then we get to verse number 5, and again, a very practical thing. And it says in my Bible here, let your conversation be without covetousness. And that word conversation, as you probably well know, means in the Bible is used for the word life. And not just your life, but the way that your life is, the manner of your life. It's really how your life speaks out to others. And the Lord says here that the Christian's life should be something, and it should be something that doesn't have covetousness. There are many things that the Christian life should have, aren't there? We should have love for one another. We should have the fruit of the Spirit. We should have Christ in us. There are many things the Christian should have this morning. But there is one thing that the Bible says that the Christian should not have. And it's a very simple thing here. The Christian should be without covetousness. Now, I'm not here today to say that anybody here has a problem with coveting. But I think if we were all honest with ourselves here this morning, we live in a world and we live in a day and an age where everything is so easily available to us, isn't it? In a few clicks of a button, if I went on the internet today, I could order something, and within a few hours, if I paid the right money, that thing could be within my reach. I could go out this morning, if I so wanted to, and I could get the best things that I possibly could, that money could buy. But God's people need to remember, and we as Christians need to remember, that we're not living this life for this world, are we? As Abraham was living, he was living and seeking for a better country to come, wasn't he? A country which was a heavenly country. And as Christians today, we should be those who are living and seeking for the Lord and for His country, for Him and for Him alone, and living out our lives for Him. But there are many Christians in our country today who live life, as it were, with no regards to the Lord. And we have everything so easily available to us, that we don't live life as we should, as the Bible says here, trusting in the Lord being our helper. We're so able nowadays to sort out our problems and cares without the Lord having anything to do it within it today. And the Lord here tells these believers that that's something that we shouldn't do. And so I want to look at this morning, and I want to see what the Lord has to say to us about what we should live our life to be. The first thing the Bible says in verse number five, is let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, he could have said many different things, couldn't he? He could have said, let your conversation be without murmuring. We are very good at murmuring, aren't we, as Christians? Or let your conversation be without gossiping. But no, he picked something here, covetousness. And that word there in the original literally means having a desire for material gain or a love for money. Let your life be without covetousness. And there are many Christians today, even young people that grow up, and they think the first thing they need to think about is their career. And if I can get everything in line and everything in row, and I'm not saying that university and careers are not important, but it seems to be that in our society today, that many people, they all their concern is at a young age, and even for parents, is to know, and for those people to know, that they have a steady job and a steady income, and all those things are important. But that is, seems to be the first point of call. And many young people, and many people today, are not seeking the Lord with their life. Can I ask you this morning, when was the last time that you really sought the Lord over the decision that you made? Well, we're to be without covetousness. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in the Bible in Matthew 6 that we're not to lay ourselves up treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. In fact, even in that passage he says, where your heart is, your treasure will be there also. And many believers' hearts today are not in the things of the Lord, but they're in the things of the world. In fact, the first letter of John in chapter 2, what does it say? Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. Not just the world itself, but the system of the world we should not love. We should not love the system. If any man love the world, he goes on to say, the love of the Father isn't in him. Oh, do you have a love for the world this morning? Is your desire this morning for the world and for yourself? We've got too comfortable, haven't we? Everything is so easy, and we've lost what we should be looking for. We've lost looking for the Lord and for eternity and for his mind. And this person that is covetousness, instead of seeking their Savior's interests, they seek their own interests, don't they? Oh, are you doing that this morning? It's so easy for all of us, isn't it? To seek our own interests. To seek what we want. To seek what we desire. But the Bible says, even in the same passage, we have no continuing city here. We have and we seek one to come. Are you living this morning with eternity in view? Is it on your mind? That Christ could come, that this could be the last day. Or are you too concerned about the future and about laying your treasures up here on earth? Are you becoming your life, becoming covetousness? We become too earthly minded. What does it say in James chapter 4 and verse 13? For what is your life? It is but a vapor. We know that verse, we quote it so much, but if you look at the verse just before that, it says to the people that say today, go, let's go and buy and sell and get great gain. Then he says, for what is your life? It is but a vapor. We don't know how long we have left. And yet, many Christians have found no place for seeking the Lord in their lives. Is that us this morning? Well, instead of being covetousness, what does the Bible say? We are to be content with such things we have. Look with me in verse number 5. It says, and be content with such things as ye have. Can I tell you this morning, everything that we have in life, everything you have in life, you know this very well, has come from the Lord, hasn't it? your job, your money, everything that we have this morning, the car, the house, all of those things have come from the Lord. And the Lord tells us, Job says this, doesn't he? In the book of Job, the Lord giveth and he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so everything we have is from the Lord and it should be given back to the Lord. Are you giving back what he's given you this morning? In fact, the Bible says we are to be content with such things as ye have. That word content means to be sufficed, to have all sufficient, to be satisfied. Are you satisfied with everything that God has given you this morning? Are you satisfied with what he's given you? Or are you longing for more? Longing for more earthly riches, longing for more things. What does the Lord say in his prayer? He says, give us this day our daily bread. He doesn't say, give us this week our weekly bread. He doesn't say, give us this month our monthly bread. No, he says, give us this day our daily bread. The Christian should be one this morning that is living from day to day, hour to hour, looking to the Lord, seeking him, being sensitive to him. But so many times, isn't it not true that we get very caught up with how things have always been? And how things always run, and how things always run. What does the Bible say? It says in that same passage in Matthew 6, the Lord says, take no thought of tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But yet many times as Christians, we plan for the future, don't we? We plan for the months and the days ahead. And those things are not wrong, but are we living really being content? And why should the Christian be content? Well, the text tells us here in verse number 5, what does it say? For he have said. There's a reason why the Christian can be content this morning is because the Christian has Christ. Did you know that this morning? If you're not saved here this morning, you'll never have a contentment in your life. You'll never know the contentment and the peace and the joy that Christ can give you because you'll always be looking for other things. And there always will be a hunger, and there always will be a thirst, and there always will be a struggle and a trial. It's like that woman of John 4, isn't it? She went every day to get her water from the water pot, didn't she? And she longed. She longed for something, but she didn't know what it was. And then that one day, the answer to her solution was sitting there, wearied by the well. Oh, my friend, many of us here this morning need that fresh glimpse, don't we? I need it this morning. We have Christ and he is our contentment. We have him and he is our contentment. And what has he promised us here, my friend, this morning? He has promised us something wonderful. He said in verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, what a thought that is to the Christian. Oh, what a thought that is to the Christian. I tell you what, this morning, I'm not very good at art, but if I ever painted a scripture text, I'd paint this one, I think. I've just decided that, but I think I'd do it. I will never leave thee. What a thought. The very God who saved us, the very God who is our contentment this morning, says to us, my friends, he'll never leave us. Oh, did you know that this morning? He'll never leave us. I will never leave thee. Oh, we plan so much, don't we? When we leave this earth. But my friend, we have one that says he'll never leave us. What a thought. I will never leave thee. There's a certainty of it. I will never leave thee. He'll never do it. He'll never do it. I will never leave thee. But he doesn't just say that. He says, nor forsake thee. Oh, my friend, when others may question your decisions, when others may push you to be living for this world, Christ says he'll never forsake you. Many of us know of people who have forsaken us, don't we? But we have a shepherd, we have a savior this morning who has promised, who has said to us this morning, he will never, never leave us or forsake us. I will never leave thee. There's a certainty of it. Our worldly riches will fail us, won't they? We will fail miserably if we try and do it our own. But Christ says, I will never leave thee. In fact, what did he say to his disciples when they were leaving? when he was leaving, he said, I will not leave thee comfortlessness. I'm going to come to you. Has he not come to us this morning? Does he not give us his word this morning? When we don't know what to do, when the world is pressing hard, when there's an agenda to be up and coming with the world, and even churches around us are giving into that agenda, we have his word this morning, and he has not left us. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What a thought this morning the Christian can say. But not only can we say those things, and not only can we not then live for the world and be covetousness, but live and be content because we have Christ. But then in verse number 6 it says, so that we may boldly say. Oh, I wonder, my friend, this morning, can you boldly say these things? Can you really say this morning that you've trusted in the Lord to meet a situation that you're going through? Can you really say you brought it to the Lord? I challenge myself on this many times. I feel oftentimes we say, oh, we'll all pray about it, don't we? We're very guilty as Christian. Well, maybe it's just me. We say, oh, I'll pray about it. We say, oh, I'll be praying for you. Many times we don't pray, do we? We forget. But have we really sought the Lord's help this morning? Are we really depending upon him this morning? Well, if we are, we can boldly say these things. So that we may boldly say, what does it say in verse number 6? The Lord is my helper. Oh, my friend, we can be content. We can live for Christ. We can live for him, because not only has he said he won't leave us or forsake us, but the Lord is our helper. He is the one that will give us aid. He is the one that will give us his help. A few weeks ago, I was listening to a message on the names of Jehovah. And one of the names of Jehovah, as you know, is Jehovah Jireh. And you find that when Abraham went up into the mountain with Isaac, didn't he? And they were about to slay Isaac, and the Lord provided a ram, didn't he? Caught in the thicket. And Abraham says, Jehovah Jireh. And oftentimes, I thought when you look at that word, it means provider. And it does. The Lord is my provider. But it's more than that. It means that the Lord has foreseen. He has foreseen my need. He has foreseen my troubles. He has foreseen it. And he's helped. My friend, there's a little verse in the book of Ephesians that says that we are no longer enemies or aliens from the commonwealth. But we've been brought in, if you know those verses. And it says something that we were at once without God in this world. Can you imagine, my friend, living the Christian life without God? Can you imagine the trials that we would face without him? Where would we be? But no, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And because he is my helper, what does it say in verse number 6? And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I don't have to fear what this world throws at me. I don't have to fear what this world says about me. I don't have to worry about my needs and living for this world, because the Lord is my helper. He is foreseen, and I don't have to fear what man can do unto me. Oh, we live so much in tune and step with the world. But my friend, the Lord is our helper. And there's no need to fear this morning, for Christ is with us. In fact, this verse, the Lord is my helper, is a quote from Psalm 118. And in fact, the Bible says in that psalm, it doesn't use the word helper. It says, the Lord is on my side. That's even an even better thing. Can you imagine that this morning? The very God of heaven is not just my helper, that I can be content in him and not live for this world, but he's on my side. A famous preacher, Robert Murray McShane, up in Dundee, Scotland, said that he would fear no man if he could just hear the words of Christ praying for him in the next room. But isn't that true today? Christ is praying for us. He's interceding for us. He's helping us. Oh, he is our helper. And we do not have to fear what the world will do unto us. We do not have to fear what the unbeliever will throw to us. We do not have to be in step with their agenda. No, for Christ is our helper. Oh, and he still is today. And then it says in verse number 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now, this verse is referring to, I believe, those who have preached and spoken, and I'm not talking about myself this morning. I'm not setting myself up on a pedestal, as it were, at all. But as I look to this verse and I look at it in context with these verses, do you know what this tells me? It tells me that the Lord wants us to remember those who have gone before us. Because the Bible says in verse number 7, remember those who have spoken the word of God unto you, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So these are people who are not necessarily alive anymore. Their conversation, their life has ended. And they fought the fight and they've kept the faith. They're good people. You know, there are many people that start out well, aren't they, as Christians. And, oh, they look good at the moment and they're all the top talk of that time. But then something happens, isn't it? And all things fail. But these people that we're to remember are those whose faith we should follow because we've seen them through to the end. And we have many great men and women to follow, don't we? God has given us many. We think of Hebrews chapter 11, a few passages earlier. We have the hall of faith. And we have many examples of faith, of men who were content, who were not covetousness, who were content with what God gave them and lived for the Lord. We think of Abraham and we think of Moses and Joseph and Jacob and all these people that have gone before us. Yes, they had their trials, but we see the end, don't we? But not only them, we have many people in our country today. Men who have gone on before us. Men we can read and women who have gone into lands and ministered to people. And we have a great Christian heritage, don't we, this morning? And we're to follow their faith. And to remember them. So many times we think about the stories of old, don't we? We think about the times of people who had great faith. We think about men of the past, like Spurgeon or D.L. Moody from America, who God used, or many different people. And we have different opinions of these men, sure. But who God used. We think of Wesley and all these people, and we see what the Lord did for them, and how they could boldly say, the Lord is my helper. But yet we doubt that God can do it again today. Can I tell you this morning, the same God of Moses, the same God of Daniel, the same God of Abraham, the same God of Spurgeon is my God and your God today. And he's the same helper today as he was for them. And he's still the same today. And that's why you get to verse 8 and it says these wonderful words that we know so well. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today and forever. Isn't that surely what it's all about this morning? It's all about Jesus Christ. Him. And him alone. Oh, my friends this morning. This is truly what we should be living for, isn't it? Living for Christ. Living for him. And to have him to be our contentment. Do you have that this morning? Are you trusting in him today? Oh, this may be a simple message. This may be simple Christian living, but how deep it is to truly live and walk with the Lord. Are you doing that this morning? Are you trusting him? Is there a trial in your life, my friend? And is there something that maybe you're doubting the Lord about and you don't know how to do it and you don't know how to sort it out? But can you not then remember these words? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Can you not look back and see how the Jehovah Jireh of old did it for you then and he can do it again today? Are you getting carried away with the world system? Are you living for the world this morning? There are so many people around us who are living for the world. But God needs people, the Lord needs people to be living for him. Are you living for him? Are you giving all you have for him this morning? Oh, I believe that the Lord can work wonderful things today. I believe that the Lord is able to do many wonderful things today through us, through this local church. He's able to use you. I believe God can save many souls. But we've got to get back to the simple Christian living. Living for Him. Living for Christ. Are you doing that today? Can you boldly say, He is my helper, come what may? Many have gone on. Many have gone on. But we've got to go on too and press on. Oh, my friend, I plead with you, live for Christ. Live for the Lord. You can trust Jesus. He's never once failed to meet my need. You can trust Him too today. Give your life over to Him. Trust Him. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says those things. And His promise is still true today. Oh, my friend, if you've never come to Christ this morning, if you've never believed upon Him, I plead with you this morning, come to the Savior. Believe on Him. He's able. He's the only one that can save you from your sin. He's the only one that can deal with your sin problem. There's no other Savior. God has approved Him, the Bible says. There's no other one but Jesus Christ. And He's done it all. And not only will He save you, but He'll keep you. And help you. Look to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we come to Thee at this time and we need Thy help. Lord, we do not want to live covetous lives. We do not want to live opposing Thee and opposing the world and opposing Thy kingdom, standing with the world, Lord. But so many times I do. I think so much about the world and what the world expects, but Lord, may we think about what Christ expects. Oh, Father, help us to live for Thee. Lord, help us to be content with what we've been given. Help us to be content because the Lord Jesus has said He'll never leave us or forsake us. And we boldly can say that the Lord is with us. Oh, Lord, help us, we pray. Oh, Father, speak to the one maybe here this morning that's doubting their salvation. Speak to the one this morning that's not right with Thee. Oh, Father, minister to them, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.